This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Broad Incorporated presents Films for Feminists. Is this a love of cinema gone mad? Is this the impossible dream of finding films that represent women and girls in a way most intelligent, most equal, most inclusive and intersectional? Is this feminism on film? Starring Lauren Stardust as the woman who loves science fiction and horror films and wants to see gender equality on the silver screen. With Sonja Hammer, who stars as a woman who lives for the impossible dream of a world of cinema where women are paid equally to men. Is this just fantasy? A film fantasy? No, it's real. Uncovering old and new films for women and girls about women and girls. Listen to us Monday nights on Broad. Films for Feminists on Joy 94.9.
Places like this?
Yeah, you know, where tranquility isn't just a myth.
From Alex Ross Perry, the acclaimed writer-director of Listen Up, Philip and The Color Wheel, comes an exploration of broken women, queen of Earth.
Been here before?
Just once last year.
Be careful now, you never know.
You never know what?
A Week at the Lake.
Who the hell are you?
Me. Rich.
He likes to hang out sometimes.
Relaxation, peace and quiet, but under the surface lurks emotional imbalance.
See, Catherine is this great artist, but she's hiding in her father's shadow.
An imbalance that tears open psychic wounds.
Please don't talk to me like that.
Like what?
Like you're superior to me or any of us.
And threatens to shake the very foundations of sanity.
Heard you walking around super late last night. Sound like you were talking to yourself?
I feel sick. I feel messed up.
Well, we should trade places. See how we feel then.
I could murder you right now and no one would ever know.
Catherine Waterston in a role you'll never forget.
I feel like I'm seeing you for the first time.
And Elizabeth Moss, as you've never seen her before.
You are worthless. You are weak and greedy. You are why people betray one another. You are why there is nowhere safe. You are why there is no escape from indecency and gossip and lies.
Leave me alone!
Queen of Earth. An acidly funny and unnerving portrait of a psychological breakdown. Catherine Waterston is startlingly impressive. And Elizabeth Moss electrifies. A stylish, whispery love letter to teasing psychological horror. Alex Ross Perry's Queen of Earth.
This is Sonja for Broad on Joy 94.9. We're speaking to filmmaker Alex Ross Perry. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, so I think the breakout for you would probably be Queen of Earth, of course, of Elizabeth Moss. Would you say that was the case? That's what's brought a lot of great attention to your work?
Well, it depends, I guess. It's the second movie that she and I made together. We made a movie a year earlier called Listen Up, Philip, which I believe was also somewhat released in Australia, which played fairly extensively internationally and in America, which was my first time working with professional actors. And then Queen of Earth was the second. They were made fairly close together. So I think the cumulative effect of making both movies kind of back-to-back is sort of the explanation.
Working with someone like Elizabeth, she's obviously a very strong sort of person, strong character and that sort of thing. When you're working together, how much input does she have within that role?
It came from a lot of what happened on Listen Up, Philip, where I'd never worked with, you know, like I said, normal professional actors before who bring their own experience and their own ideas. And it was very exciting. And she and Jason Schwartzman, who were in that movie, taught me a lot about the amount of input that actors like that can have to a process. And then when I was kind of getting Queen of Earth ready, and I knew that I could count on that from actors in general, but from her specifically. This movie was sort of designed to have some elasticity, so I went in knowing that there were going to be parts of it that I would kind of just rely on spontaneous collaborative input as we went along every day, and that turned out to be the best way to have structured the movie, where the actors feel like any ideas they have or any suggestions they want to make are not only welcome, but going to immediately affect the shape of the movie.
Yes, it's very interesting. When you watch it, and for Australian audiences, I think we're quite surprised, I think, about just the strength of some of those characters we don't normally see in so many films that we get in festivals. It wasn't like the sort of independent, happy-go-lucky, a humorous kind of American films that we often see now.
Well, good. I hope that people are interested in exploring that and checking it out regardless.
So working with female characters and writing them, how do you get inspired? What inspires you to form such characters?
Well, a lot of it is just the excitement over working with certain actresses or actors in general. And then, you know, in the case of this movie, Queen of Earth, it was coming from my love of quite a tradition and genre of a certain type of film, a certain type of 60s and 70s thriller, suspense, drama movie that all feature women. All those movies, all the ones we were talking about inspired by, are all women's stories, and a lot of horror tends to take on that as its central entry point. This movie, I needed to just sort of be connected to that whole tradition, and it was very exciting and easy for me to kind of make this movie about these two women after having made Listen Up, Philip, which was very male-centric. And it was just a fun way to kind of mix things up and create a set of different challenges for myself. And in doing so, just make a lot of steps towards respecting and putting my own mark on a genre that I really love and respect.
And yes, it has got that feeling, almost a kind of Polanski, but obviously the walls aren't disintegrating. It's not like, it's completely... The person doesn't appear to be falling apart. Well, they are falling apart, obviously, but the world's not collapsing completely around them.
Sure. I think if we had more money, we probably would have wanted to do something like that, but we're limited.
Yeah. No, it's refreshing that you don't do that. You know, it still has that tensity, that tension, and that feeling of real dread. And that's the whole feeling I had with it. And it did remind me of a less special effects, less makeup effects of a film. I don't know if you've seen it. You might have seen it. Honeymoon?
I don't think I know it.
It's set by a lake, and a young couple have a honeymoon, and clearly something very... It's more horrific. It's more supernatural kind of influence. But it's
that synopsis of a movie is basically all I need to want to see it.
Yeah,
so I'm immediately interested, but I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, well, she's going to be doing apparently the sequel to The Craft. So there was a bit of Lee Janiak.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a very interesting film. It's probably got more in the style of, you know, the obvious tropes, but we're not sure if it's if there's some sort of alien presence.
Interesting.
Or very natural. Because nature. Sorry, you were saying?
Yeah, no, I should look into that. Yeah. Check it out.
Because nature seems to also be something that your films do show, that sense of closeness to nature, even though these are very, you know, sophisticated characters, obviously, from the city and very urbanized, and yet there's that sense that they're close to something else, another world type of feeling.
Interesting. Well, I think a lot of that comes from just being in New York and wanting to find relevant New York-based stories. A lot of them, for me and people I tend to know who live in this city or cities in general, is that you always want to be getting out and going on vacation. Just, you know, you can, as in the case of what the characters are talking about in Queen of Earth, drive for an hour or two and be somewhere completely different than where you live. And most places, that's not the case. And I think that that's a fun thing to explore. And I think it has an effect on the mentality of characters that is very fascinating to me, to take people who live in urban environments and then put them out in completely tranquil and natural environments and then just kind of see what the differences are.
And does this take a lot from your own experiences and as well, what you put into your stories?
A little bit. I mean, stuff like that. I enjoy getting out of town for a weekend here and there, and I just find it very fascinating that you can just, in an hour or 90 minutes, just be somewhere completely different. And it doesn't, I mean, nothing that happens in the movies ever happens to me, but it's just, it gets me thinking about how fascinating it is that this is such a big part of urban life.
It reminds me of another filmmaker. Sorry about these comparisons, but Sebastian Silva, I'm not sure if you've seen Magic.
I've not.
No, same thing, but this is from a South American perspective. These are very urbanized Chileans who go to the countryside, and there's just this total feeling of nature is trying to almost get them, but it's not overkilled. It's not like Wake and Fright, or it's not like The Long Weekend, which are Australian films, which...
Yeah, see, I know both of those movies. I don't know the two recent movies you mentioned, but I've seen both of those films a couple times.
Yeah. I feel that you're in that same sort of vein, but certainly it's more of the human breakdown and human against human and misunderstandings and relationships that can happen.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I'm happy to be in that vein. Those are great movies.
Okay. Thank you. Now, the other thing is, what does the future hold? Is Queen of Earth, has it finished a lot of the festival circuit now, or?
It has, yeah. I was mostly doing that last year. Yeah. It came out here in America last August, and now it's just starting to have other releases. It comes out in the UK in July, so it's just kind of finishing up the last couple of international releases. And I just made another movie here in Brooklyn, not a genre movie, just a ensemble drama. And I've been having a couple of writing jobs that have been keeping me busy for both individuals and studios and whatnot. So yeah, it's just kind of a little bit of a diverse assortment of things.
Yeah, it sounds like you're very busy doing a lot of different interesting little collaborations. You're working with Chloe Savini as well. That is something that's happening. What's it like to work with? She's greatly admired, and she, you know, the 90s it girl. Basically, what's it been like working with someone so talented?
It was really nice. The entire cast of that movie was really game to just come and try something different with me. And she really brought something to the movie that I was incredibly excited about, because I sort of, in my first conversation with her, an early conversation, you know, I was describing what you were asking about at the beginning here about, you know, the collaborative process and designing scripts to sort of breathe. And she said, I'm terrified of improv. I like to just kind of know what I'm doing and then find other ways to kind of be spontaneous. And I said, all right, well, in this movie, I won't do any of that. I've done it on two movies in a row. I would like to do a movie where the script is the script and we're all just kind of sticking to that, and we're finding other things to be spontaneous about. And that was a great starting point. And, you know, the whole movie was very local, and she lives in the same neighborhood as I do, and she walks to work most of the time, and was very happy about that. And it was just a very mellow experience. But you know, it was a big ensemble cast, so most people only worked 5 or so days, and then everyone else kind of did the same.
Yeah, cool. It feels like it's a, you know, a nice job to have. Good people coming in and out, you know, revolving door. So.
Right. Well, the hope is that when people come and do these small movies, you know, they're not getting very much money. So you really have to remind yourself that they're doing it for other reasons. They're doing it for passion of exploring a sort of process that won't be available to them on larger, more corporate jobs.
True.
And it's my responsibility to make sure that the environment is really liberating and accessible, so that the actors can really feel like this is a low-key environment for them to just kind of come and experiment and just really focus on the work rather than focusing on the professionalism of it.
I guess, and the outcome of it too. You know?
Yeah, well, hopefully if everything goes well, the outcome is predetermined as being something interesting. It might not be great, but at the very least, everyone, if they feel safe and they feel like this is a place where they can just kind of leave their insecurities behind and feel like they're not afraid to fail or suggest a stupid idea, then we'll get something really, really interesting. And, you know, Queen of Earth is really just 2 characters, but this new movie had 7. So it was a lot of people coming in and out of the cast.
Yeah. And Joshy, of course, I mean, your background too, you've got acting experience in there as well. Is that important, do you think, to know how to work with an ensemble when you are taking the director's chair?
I think so. I mean, going to do something like acting in that movie is largely informed by the lessons I've learned from Elizabeth and Jason Schwartzman and the other actors that were in these first two movies with professional actors, and just kind of understanding what the job is of a performer on set to kind of manage the atmosphere and the attitude of the crew, because if the actors are being kind and generous and available, then the entire crew feels connected and a part of the process. And if they're being distant and quiet and keeping to themselves, then there's going to be a very different vibe. And I know which one of those leads to people having a better time, and having a better time leads to, I think, making a better movie. So I do pick up little things from as many of the actors as I can.
It's great to see. I've got the list here in front of me. I'm working with the Swanbergs and Aubrey Plaza, and you know, it's a fantastic mix of people there. Lisa Edelstein and yeah, great, good stuff. I mean, I love what they do. Are you mumblecore then? You know, that horrible, funny term.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the script for the first movie I made with Elizabeth, Listen Up, Philip, was 140 pages long. That's pretty unnaturally large object. And this new movie I just made, Golden Exit, like I said, we didn't, I don't think there's anything that we shot that's not as it was written, more or less. So I think, as long as, I mean, this new one was more of a sort of experiment and something that was kind of theatrical. A lot of long monologues in it and long takes, and we only did them once. We didn't cover everything. We just kind of let these long monologues play out in wide shots, and just let the actors kind of run wild. And a lot of the actors had a background in theater, and they were really excited by that challenge.
Cool. It just sounds brilliant. It's like a European version of something like Lars von Trier, maybe. Just, you know.
Maybe. I don't really know what it is. I don't know what this new movie is. It's pretty peculiar and different for me, but there's a lot of fun actors. Australia's Emily Browning is in it.
She's fantastic. Yeah, she's very powerful.
She was kind of the center of the ensemble in that she interacted with the most of the other characters than everybody else did. So yeah, it was a different experience, but I don't think if you're shooting 10-page monologues, then you can call your movies mumblecore.
It's like calling something Generation X. It's
sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just to try and market something at the end of the day.
Well, if that helps listeners want to go check out the movies, then sure.
Yeah. So where can they check out you and the process and where you're up to now? Do you have a website that's...
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, I had to hunt around a bit for different articles and stuff on you, so that's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not like a direct channel of information, but I'm glad that the movies are finding release, and I'm glad for the support of companies in, you know, other countries who, you know, they put out mostly their own country's movies, and they're only going to put out a couple American films, so if there's an audience for it, that's nice. And I've had a couple of nice festival screenings with Queen of Earth in Melbourne last August, and people are checking out these movies and letting the companies know that there's interest in them, then they'll hopefully keep releasing them.
You think you'll work with Elizabeth Moss again?
There's nothing that I've become more comfortable with than repeating actors. Like Jason Schwartzman is in this new movie. He was the only person in it who I'd worked with before, but that sort of relationship is just so easy to step back into for always daunting process of making a new movie. And there's hardly any actors I've worked with that I don't hope to continue working with as often as they'll be available.
That's the thing, to be available, you know, that's a big thing, I guess, for bread and butter. If they've got their own projects and, you know, they'd like to make it, I guess everyone wants to make a sort of living out of it.
Sure. They can't always come make movies for $200 a day.
No, true. But if you provide this good sandwiches, I'm sure, you know, and you all seem to be good friends, so, and get along with her very well. So
yeah, that's valuable.
That helps. Yeah, I think so. And certainly I think it's a great age we are right in right now with American independent films. I think it's a very strong time, and watching it from this other end of the world, it's something that, I mean, my friends, we get excited every time we see another cute, wonderful little American film. And, you know, sometimes they're horror films, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're more psychological, like your film, Queen of Earth.
Interesting. Yeah. How many make their way down there?
maybe about 5 or 6 ones that really stand out every year, I suppose. I think one at the moment is The Fitz. That's just been in a very small festival, American Independent Film Festival, but it sold every seat, and there was a Q&A with the director, and they brought her out. And it's like watching it's just like watching that wonderful process and feeling very close and very much, much more intimate sort of storytelling, which I think is refreshing, because, you know, we're just surrounded by these, what to me is cold, calculated, you know, money making things that come from the US often.
Yeah, interesting. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, about girls fainting, fainting fits
oh, I get
epidemic.
It. I see.
Yeah, amazing. Well, look, Alex, I want to really thank you, because I'm sure you really pushed for time, and I really appreciate that you've been able to take some time tonight, down here anyway, to speak to us about Queen of Earth and about your other films and all the work that you're doing.
Cool. Thanks so much for being interested and, you know, helping get the word out about the movie. And hopefully people will go check it out.
Thanks so much, Alex. Thank you very much. Alex Ross Perry, director, writer, producer, what don't you do, actor as well. And we're talking about Queen of Earth and many other wonderful things coming out of your imagination. Thanks so much for speaking to us here on Joy 94.9. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sunday night, I get a fright. Broad is looking for a podcaster. This is a great opportunity for anyone looking to connect with Broad and Joy 94.9. You don't need any podcasting experience. Joy will give you all the training that you need. To podcast the show, you only need about 1 hour a week. Being a podcaster is a common stepping stone for people who become on-air presenters. If you would like to podcast Broad, email production@joy.org.au and put Broad in the subject line.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.